With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Bourne. Happy to be at Granite Coast Brewing Company now with Rob Dunn, who is the taproom manager. I want to find out what that means, as well as a co-owner. And Rob, thank you for inviting me here. Glad to make it. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good this morning on this nice, beautiful summer day.
It is summer. You know, and I'm looking at this place. I want to know the whole history of it. But let me ask you, first of all, how you got into this. And this is a brand new business, so we also have to talk about, you know, the ramp up to this. But how did you get into it in the first place?
So my business partner and I, we've been friends since high school. And, you know, ever since we were able to legally buy in places, we always liked the different beers out there that weren't the big mass-produced beers. So we were drinking Harpoon IPA in Sierra Nevada when most other people were ordering a lot of the stuff from Anheuser-Busch and Miller and Coors. And not to knock them, just wasn't what we wanted at the time. Mm-hmm. And we always liked to go into breweries and learning about beer. We had the opportunity quite a few years ago. We knew a head brewer of a brewery that's gone through multiple names and changes, but what is now Rapscallion Brewing. But we had met their brewer years ago through my partner's other passion, which is, you know, comic books and gaming. And we learned a little bit about the brewing process. This was really fun. I moved all around. I've lived all over the country. When I finally came back to Massachusetts with my wife to start our family, we got into homebrewing, and it quickly jumped from there. What started as, hey, okay, we spent an afternoon making a mess in my kitchen, then we were doing it every other week. Oh, now we got a bottle. We got beers in production. Oh, we can make cider. We started learning all different stuff, and it took one heavy hoppy beer being brewed in my house for my wife to kick us out of the kitchen. She does not like hops. She doesn't like the smell of it, and it also was the way that we kind of told everyone that she was pregnant with the first kid because it kind of made her sick. So while moving outside, we had to get new equipment. We started getting bigger. So most brewing starts with people use already either powdered sugars from malt or liquid malt. So it's either called powdered malt extract or liquid malt extract. And you can brew an easy 5-gallon batch of beer on your kitchen stove. Well, we started getting into taking the grain and crushing it ourselves and converting it into the sugars, which is what's called all grain. It's what all large breweries do. It's also a way to kind of have more control over it and kind of do a more traditional brew on a small scale. And with that came every few weeks trying a new piece of equipment, things getting a little more complicated. And then we decided to convert my partner's garage. And this is a detached single-car garage in the back of his yard into our test brewery. So we had bought a one-barrel. Barrel is a measurement used with brewing and as long as a lot of other liquid industries. So it's roughly around 33 gallons. We built a one-barrel all-electric brew house. To do that, we had to run electric out to the garage. We didn't put in any insulation. It had no heat. Mm-hmm. It had no running water. So we had to run out. Every day we brewed, we ran a hose from the house, and we ran another hose down to a dump sink to get rid of our waste properly. We built a fermentation chamber so we can control the temperatures. We had a small fridge we got out of an old Korean grocery store that had gone out that a friend of us helped find. So we had everything in there. We really, as homebrewers, started a production system. You know, we brewed on this day. Well, we needed to make sure we were available on this date so we could transfer it to the next stage, get to the next stage, do bottling. So we had a schedule already going, and we were brewing the beer, brewing much more than we could drink ourselves, and people were enjoying it. Mm-hmm. A couple other, my partner at the time worked for a homebrew shop, so he had easy access to equipment and ingredients. We also met a lot of other homebrewers that way, as well as pro brewers. And during our whole time in the garage, we had friends who are homebrewers who were there with us. They showed up bottling with us, testing out recipes with us. And a lot of these guys then came and helped us build this place. So for a while, we were brewing the beer and handing it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we got into, hey, we could kind of do this professionally.
You must have gotten some good reviews along the way.
Yeah, people were enjoying what we were making. Mm-hmm. You know, and even some pro brewers were like, you guys aren't quite homebrewers anymore because they've seen our system, because we went and got a good system so we could do it right. Because that same system, with some slight modifications, is our pro system. So we were learning on the equipment we were going to then take into the professional setting so we could kind of come in already having that learning curve taken over instead of trying to jump from, hey, I'm brewing a 5-barrel batch, a 5-gallon batch, and now I'm going to go on to completely different equipment that has different efficiency rates and transfers and timing. We were trying to learn all of that early on.
You know, it's similar to the rock star garage band and building your own studio is what it sounds like, because you learn as you go, and then you get, you upgrade and get the new equipment and keep learning. What about I'm guessing you probably have to get certificates or licenses or something like that. How did that process work? All right, so before I turn this thing off, I was asking you about getting permits, licensing, and all that kind of thing. How did that go?
So federal and state-wise, it's pretty easy. You know, get all your paperwork turned in. It's, you know, to get a brewer's license or your brewer's note is all about working with the TTB, which is Taxation Bureau. You know, mm-hmm. We're making an alcoholic beverage. It's one of the most controlled industries in right. the country, and the government wants their taxes. So we've got to make sure all that's filled out properly. The state is, and federal paperwork is pretty easy to deal with. The local is different, because then they can put different, you know, restrictions on you, things like that. PBD was very open to having a brewery come in. You know, when looking at the neighborhood communities, we've got multiple breweries next door in Salem, multiple over mm-hmm. in Beverly, you know, a bunch up and down the North Shore in the Metro West. So PBD saw this as a great thing when we started looking for spaces, and we sat down and talked with some city councilors and the mayor about this being an opportunity. And a good friend, homebrewing friend of ours, had brought us in. Yeah, he's a PBD native, born and raised, and he brought us to meet these people originally before we ever had a space, just like, hey, this might be a good place for you.
On the website, and I'm going to link to the website also, you have a lot of interesting stories there, and it's really cool to watch and to look at all the products that you offer. But you must have had an obstacle or two here and there that you haven't mentioned.
So we built this place ourselves. So I am a background as a science teacher and an outdoor educator. So I spend a lot of time outside playing things. Our name kind of comes from that with our backgrounds. Mm-hmm. You know, my partner, he has worked in the pop culture and comic book industry for a very long time, then in the brewing industry. So we knew all these things, but we are not carpenters or masons or any of that.
Yep.
And because we funded this ourselves, we built it ourselves. All of our original furniture in here was custom designed and built by us. All the tile work in here was done by us. All of the painting. We have a giant cold room out back that we built and got, you know, hired someone to come in and do spray insulation, but we did our own cold room. We had to build and do all the plumbing for our brew system.
Because that's
stuff that we can do. It's not our major plumbing to code. That is obviously plumbing, electric, licensed people in here doing those things. General contractor doing the framing, but we did everything we could ourselves. Built the bar ourselves, you know, learning how to do tile work, learning how to work with copper, and all sorts of other things.
How did you envision it? I mean, did you envision the layout? You know, your partner, you worked together, somebody else give you some ideas? Because the place, it's very welcoming, it's very modern. I'm thinking you have probably clientels from across the spectrum, from young to my age.
So we do. I mean, one of the first things is we were lucky enough, when we found this spot, it was blank. Not even a blank canvas. Oh, hey, look, you just got blank walls. This was down to studs and subfloor. So the landlord worked with us on putting in supports to the floor to hold our brewing equipment, because when you have large tanks that hold a large amount of liquid, they get heavy. So we were able to have this open slate to kind of build this big open space. So working with an architect for some of the stuff, but we had that idea. We wanted it to feel a little bit like a little bit more of the European pubs and beer hall feel. Like, we made these big 6-foot tables for the idea of, like, okay, maybe you might sit down and there might be another party or two that sits out of that same table by you, and you meet somebody new. And, you know, of course, COVID messed with some of that stuff, but regardless.
Well, that's next. I'm going to ask about that next.
But the plan was always kind of make it have a big place where we are family friendly, we are dog friendly. You can sit, relax, enjoy. You'll notice, you know, one thing we did, there's no electronic up on this wall. Mm-hmm. We don't have TVs. Because it wasn't about a place to go watch a game. Now, there's nothing wrong with sitting down at a bar and watching a game and drinking a beer. That wasn't the atmosphere we wanted. We do occasionally try to broadcast big games, things like that, if we need to. And that's something we're going to work towards maybe being able to do regularly. But we didn't want TVs on just to have TVs in the room. That was never something we wanted to do.
You, you know, you mentioned COVID, and this whole process, you were building toward 2018.
Did I do it again? Hold on a second. I just want to make sure I didn't hit that button again.
It's been so long since I've interviewed anybody live. It's always been by Zoom or phone, so forgive me for messing up my electronics. But, you know, you're building toward this 2018, 2019, and you opened in 2019, is that right?
2019.
Okay, and then less than a year later, you know, you're probably still ironing out the kinks or whatever, COVID hits. So tell me about that whole process and what it did to your thinking and to your business.
So our initial business plan in here was the idea of we wanted a variety of beers all the time and trying to rotate what we go through. We've done, I think, around 50 different distinct beers in our just over 2 years. We've repeated a few now that, you know, we've gotten, you know, going with things. Things people liked, we brought back. But we were building up. A friend had just come on as our marketing manager and was getting events planned and getting pop-ups planned.
Yep.
And things were ramping up in March. We had just actually had a couple good events that week. Like we had, this place was capacity the week before the quarantine hit. And then everything got closed out from under us.
Wow.
So we had to go to a to-go only model. We luckily in that 10 months that we have been open built a good amount of clientele that we were seeing regularly. So in the first couple months of being closed, when we were just open for takeout, I was here every Friday night and Saturday afternoon, and we were seeing the same faces come through. Maybe not every week, but every other week.
Okay.
People would be, you know, buying growlers, and that pushed us towards canning. Canning wasn't something we wanted to jump at right away. You know, with the small brew house, we wanted to make sure we had all our recipes and everything down pat before we started getting into, you know, canning it and then trying to either self-distribute or distribute out, just because our main goal is pouring our pints across our own bar.
Right, right.
You know, especially with that variety. Not all the styles we brew are commercially successful in a liquor store or in the packies, just because there's so many out there and people like certain styles. If you've never heard of a style, someone may not jump at it because they've never heard of it. Whereas in a brewery,
right,
I've never heard of that. What is it? We can tell you about it. We can give you a little sample. You can do a flight paddle. Like, oh, I like this. And then they might get them onto it. But it's harder to do that at a liquor store. We're not there to tell you about our beer.
Are you still doing the canning?
So we got into it by help from Riverwalk Brewing up in Newburyport.
Mm-hmm.
They reached out saying one of their brew houses was offline due to COVID as well, because it was specific for their tap room. And they reached out to all the smaller breweries like, all right, would anyone like to come up here? And they gave great rates for it. We'll brew it for you. We'll get it packaged for you. And then you got cans.
Wow.
And that we went with them for a couple batches. And now we worked with some grants, things like that, to get some upgrades to our brew house that allows us to can on site. And there's some mobile canning companies that are here in New England. Specifically, we work with State 64. And they come in, they bring the cans, they bring their equipment, set everything up. And when they're gone, we've got however many beers we wanted to use that day in cans and ready to sell.
So it kind of, COVID kind of kicked you to do something that you might have been thinking doing down the road, and it did help.
It sped that up, yeah.
Let me ask you about,
if I hit this stop button one more time, I'm going to go crazy. I got to put something.
We're still rolling here. All right, let me ask you about, I have a friend who used to work with the Beer Snob, he was called. And he had a podcast, a weekly or monthly video thing. And, you know, we're telling me about sipping beers and tasting beers, beer tasting and so on. But I also, there's a couple of craft brews that I picked up in North Conway. And I'm reading the cans, and it's almost poetic. It's almost artistic how they describe that. Do you guys do that on your labels at all?
Yeah, so between our descriptions that we post on the website for the beers, we most times take that same description and throw it onto the cans. Mm-hmm. We want to let you know what this is.
Sure.
You know, if we've got a beer you've never seen before, how are you going to know what this is just by looking at it?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, our cans are, we went with some pretty traditional styling on our labels. We haven't gone any outrageous artwork. Which
right.
some of our friends did that, and their cans are beautiful, and they stick out at a store, and that's awesome. that wasn't quite what we thought the feel for us was. You know, we wanted something that kind of fit with the feel of our brand. But you got to know what the beer is. Just by looking at a can, if you've never seen that style, what is Kolsch? All right, or what's an 80 shilling? By reading that little description, you can get an idea of what ingredients we put into it, what you should get from when you taste it, things like that.
And you do have that online. I'll refer to that, but the descriptions are right there. So and how often do you change that? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, our website has a whole list of the beers that are currently on tap, as well as beers we have brewed in the past. So, like, get an idea, someone says something about one of the beers, there's an image in the description of all the beers we've brewed.
You know, I think the final question I have about the business aspect of it is the advertising, the website business. You do so much, you know, from probably sweeping the floor to locking up at night. So who keeps up with the website?
So Amy Luckowitz is our marketing manager.
Okay.
She is a very good friend of ours who came on to help us out and has taken it to pass what we would have been able to do on our own from our own knowledge. So she's the one who's creating events, getting, you know, the imagery created for it, published it. Our website is hosted by a local marketing company called Octocog, which is, they're in Salem, and they work primarily with the food and beverage, but they'll work with, you know, client who needs it, but they're great people, and I've known one of the owners quite a while, and he actually reached out to us back in the garage days. It's like, I think I'm just hearing about you guys. I'd love to come talk to you. And come find out, we knew each other from childhood.
Cool.
So they host our website. So, you know, when we have things we need fixed on it, we send that to them, and they get it published for us. And so that's something that Amy is on top of. So if something, you know, oh, we got a new beer coming out, she wants us to make sure we've got that information so she can have it on the website before the weekend of it being released.
So you mentioned you were trained as a science teacher. Are you a mad chemist? Is that how this goes about? And you decide, let's experiment with this and see what taste we can get?
I'd say that's a little bit more of, you know, my upbringing. My father and grandfather both have got chem degrees. I was a little bit more of a rock jock. I like geology and ecology a little bit more.
Okay.
But that was the name we kind of wanted to play with originally. It was like, should we go with something like Mad Scientist Brewing? Somebody already had that copyrighted years ago.
So
it's like,
okay.
But it is that. I mean, this is practical application of thermal dynamics, of microbiology, you know, enzymes, all these different things we learn about in school that you think, oh, I'll never use this. Here's practical application of it that we just, you don't think about.
I was a math teacher. I had a harder time selling it than you might as a chemist type. So let's get down to events and so on. I want to talk about the event that's coming up this weekend. All over the North Shore, it's Pride Month is being celebrated. And how'd you get involved with that, and what are you guys going to be doing?
So we, early on from being open, we had met a couple different nonprofits, and we'll give you a spot to come do a fundraising event if you need. You know, there is a local gentleman who had been in part of local politics. He's now working in, I think, I may be wrong on this, but I think he's in Senator Lovely's office working. He's a PBD native, and Nagley is a big part for him. And he's been in here. He's been a regular. Love seeing him. We've talked to him. And he knows that we are very open to everyone. We are accepting of all. We have got some very good friends, you know, that are fall in various parts of the LGBTQ+ community. And it was about, what can we do? He reached out to us and was like, guys, could we do a Pride Night in PBD for Nagley? And we were like, yes. There was no question when he asked. We're like, we will definitely do this for you, because as a former, and I taught science in Salem, Nagley is an organization that has helped support many of my former students, and it will keep supporting former students of mine as they get older and they realize those supports are there for them, and they're just a great organization. You know, we had worked with, and we had done a message for the online Pride Parade last year, and even I have worn every day since the Pride Parade 2 years ago. I have a pin I wear, which is made by Georgia Wren, the local t-shirt button company. Georgia made this. Who's actually the daughter of Bridge Nine Records over in Beverly. And same thing, Sully's Tees. It's the same owner. And she designed this pin, and all the proceeds go to Nagley. And it's like, I've worn this every day in support of my friends and family of that community. And so and I'm here probably 95% of the time we're open, so it's very obvious and open here about what we support and who we're behind.
And you also have very friendly signs all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's another beautiful thing Amy does. She will, for certain months and events, you know, she'll come through and completely decorate the place. Okay. And she's helping us right now as we are updating some of our decor, getting some art installations done and things like that.
Well, Rob, is there anything else you want to mention about Granite Coast? Almost did it again. Brewing Company here in Peabody. Very easy to get to, by the way, right on Main Street. What about parking? You guys have a parking area? Or?
So we don't have our own parking lot, but there is on-street parking all up and down Main Street. There are, I think, 5 different municipal lots within easy walking, you know, and they're all going more towards the square, but they're almost always have spots in them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of the hardest things. Someone might say, there was no spots on Main Street. But those lots always have.
And what about outdoor? Do you guys have outdoor facility?
So we have a big outdoor patio that came with our space. That was one of the selling points of the space. It runs the whole length of our building. And we're starting to work on upgrading our patio. So we've gotten some brand new furniture that's going out there, and we're working on some more permanent shade solutions for it, because it's nice and shady in the afternoon, but the late morning, early afternoon can be a little hot. But so we're working on some permanent things to go out there. And this is all stuff that luckily we were able to get a hold of with, you know, small business grants and small business administration.
And finally, staffing?
That is mostly the people who helped us build it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is a small family-run organization. My wife will work the bar. I'm here. You know, my partner does all the brewing, so he's not really behind on the bar because he handles all the production. But Amy, our marketing manager, she works, and she's got a great background in retail, so it helps streamline things.
Oh, awesome.
And the rest of the staff are currently all of our friends.
I'm going to infer now that tap room manager means this place where we are right now.
Yes. So my, main focus in the business is being that, helping, getting this place run. So staffing it, making sure everyone's here, everything, mm-hmm. What we need is here, where my partner does, all that behind-the-scenes stuff. So a lot of times, at events, there might be my face we're seeing a lot of times, mm-hmm. or, I go out to different things, definitely representing us, because, he's busy on long days brewing, or, hey, something's messed up out back. The only people who are going to fix it are us. Mm-hmm. So we are our own mechanics, our own laborers.
Well, it's more than a labor of love. Hopefully it'll be very successful. Anything else you want to mention about it?
While we don't have our own kitchen, we have a rotating list of food vendors that come in, from food trucks to we have a sausage cart that's out front every year so often. We have pop-ups that come inside and use our facility and serve from in here. But whenever we don't have food here, we are always welcome for you to bring in your own picnics or even hit up our local neighbors. Mm-hmm. Downtown PB has got such great food that people just don't realize. I mean, there are so many good sub and pizza shops, yep. as well as other food you can find down here, from Mexican, Greek, Italian, Americana, pub food. It's great.
And it goes good with beer.
It does.
All right. That's Rob Dunn, who is the tap room manager and co-owner of the Granite Coast Brewing Company. With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore.